give God some praise this morning. You know, sometimes we just have to stop the merry-go-round and get off. The world is so negative. I have a question. I have a lot of questions for you this morning, but my first question is, do you go through the week feeling drained? Every step of the way just seems like a battle. And would you like to feel lifted from that? If you do, I think I have an answer for you. It's worship. Are you tired of coming to church and leaving the same way, longing to experience something different, but you don't? Worship. Worship is probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, means of receiving spiritual blessing. Isaiah writes in the Old Testament, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." And the word wait does not imply a passive, oh, I hope kind of thing attitude. Waiting on the Lord implies an intense focus on God, an anticipation of his presence and of his blessings. It's having an excitement about him. When's the last time you felt excited about the things of God? Christian writer Timothy Christensen says this about our worship: if worship is the one thing we do, then everything else will become mundane. And if worship is the one thing that we do, everything we do will take on an eternal significance. You see, worship is, it's a stairway where there's movement in two directions. It's a two-lane kind of road. God comes to man, and man goes to God. We must come to grips with the fact that if we are not experiencing God, if our worship has become mundane and unfruitful, if our intensity and interaction with God is dead and dry, we've made it that way. On the other hand, if worship is from the heart, it can be life-changing. It is the greatest means we have available to us as Christians for renewal and strengthening of our souls. So, let's talk about what worship is. Transformational worship, worship that God uses to change us, can strengthen your heart, can open your heart, it can assure your heart, and it can refresh your heart. Worship that strengthens the heart. The word says, "Therefore, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all of your cares upon him, because he cares for you." We are made strong by humbling ourselves before God in worship. We are made strong in the Lord because He is the one who is our strength. Psalm 28:7-8 says, "The Lord is my shield and my strength. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. The Lord is my strength, and He is the saving refuge of His anointed." Worship can strengthen your heart this morning. Worship also opens your heart. It helps us to be more sensitive and in tune with the Spirit. Many times I think we miss the movement of the Spirit because we're not tuned in to what the Spirit is saying to us. We have our minds too fixed on the matters of this world. There was a story written by a man named Tim Hensel, and I think it kind of zeroes in and helps us to understand having the ears to hear and the eyes to see God. He writes that an American Indian, a Native American, was in downtown New York. And he was walking with his friend who lived in New York City. And as he was walking, he suddenly said, "I hear a cricket." And his friend said, "You're crazy. There's no cricket, I'm sure of it. You don't hear a cricket. This is noon. I mean, this is downtown New York City. Cars are hustling and bustling. Taxis are squealing. There's noise from the city. You cannot hear a cricket in the middle of all of this noise." And he said, "I'm sure that I do." And he stopped and he listened attentively for a moment. And then all of a sudden he walked to the corner, crossed the street, he looked all around, and finally on the corner, he saw a shrub bush. And that was sitting inside of a large cement planter like they have on the streets. And he got down on his knees and he dug beneath the leaves of the shrub bush, and sure enough, he found a cricket there. And his friend was astounded. But the man said, "No, don't. There's no need to be surprised. My ears are different from yours. It simply depends on what you're listening for. Here, let me show you." So the gentleman went into his pocket, and he had some change in his pocket, some coins. And he pulled them out, and he dropped a few of them on the street. And sure enough, at that moment, everybody stopped and turned around to listen. And he said, "You see what I mean? It all depends on what you're listening for." As Christians, we have to have ears to hear. But we have to learn what to listen for. You know, worship helps us to be more receptive to what the Lord is saying and the work that goes on in our hearts. Both desire and ability for true worship flows from that place. Another thing about worship is that it can assure your heart, and I hope that that is the case this morning. Focusing on the Lord reminds us of His greatness. Psalm 48:1 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." David in Psalm 86:10 said, "For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone our God. Using this time to focus on the Lord reminds us of his care. Isaiah wrote in his book, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" The question is, have we forgotten who we serve? As we magnify the Lord and recognize who we serve, our problems become smaller and surmountable. Worship, when rightly focused, can refresh your heart. Worship brings us into the presence of the Lord, and when we are in his presence, it refreshes us. Oswald Chambers said that the reality of God's presence is not dependent on any place, but only dependent upon the determination that we set before us to know the Lord. If the Lord is the source of our refreshing, then it is impossible to be spiritually refreshed without worshiping him. It's entering into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. It's giving him thanks. It's recognizing who God is, not only for what he can do for you, but for what he has already done. As we continue to reflect about our hearts this morning and asking God to show us our hearts, show us what is the thing that is separating us from him, because we all have the things in our lives. And as we consider that worship is the vehicle, our life's worship is the vehicle for such change, I want to tell you a story about pure worship that comes from Luke. I'm going to read it as written in the scriptures, and then I'm going to ask you a couple of questions that I want you to reflect on this morning. So, in this story of what I'm calling pure worship, comes from Luke 7, 36 through 50. And it goes as following. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who had been living a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissing them and pouring perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is. She is a sinner." And then Jesus answered him and said, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," Simon said. "Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them love him more?" Simon said, "Well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I have come into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and has wiped them with her hair. You didn't put oil on my head, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love is shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Here's a question. If you were to do a heart check this morning, is your relationship with Jesus more like the Pharisees, or is it more like the prostitutes in the story? You see, Samuel was a Pharisee, so he was raised in church, he was raised in the ways of religion, he had heard the stories, he had memorized the scriptures, he fasted regularly, he tithed his income, he prayed at least 3 times a day, never missed attendance in the synagogue. He was a decent man. He was a respected leader in the community. But how would we describe his relationship with Jesus? I guess we could describe it as formal at best, cool, distant. He invited Jesus to his home for dinner. The scriptures don't say why. Perhaps he was thinking that the theological discussion would be invigorating and interesting. I mean, the young teacher Jesus had been causing quite a stir, and maybe the Pharisee thought it might be interesting to interact with him. But the problem in this story with Simon is that he had no sense, of any personal need for Jesus. I mean, he had it all together. He was a Pharisee. What could Jesus do for him? He wasn't so bad. He didn't understand that Jesus was trying to offer him eternal life. He didn't need it. He had his religion. Maybe he just didn't want his Pharisee friends to think that he had gone overboard, or that he was too Jesus-y, or whatever have you. Nobody wants to be seen as too Jesus-y, right? So let's consider our other character of our story this morning, the woman. She's not given a name. And perhaps that was to protect her identity, but I assure you, everybody in that town knew who that woman was. And it took a lot of courage to seek out Jesus, particularly in a gathering like this, which included a lot of Pharisees. She knew that if she went to look for Jesus, that she was going to have to endure stares and whispers, muffled laughter, people nudging each other, "What's she doing here?" But she wanted to openly express her love for Jesus. And she was willing to endure public humiliation in order to do it. Luke doesn't tell us, but we have to assume that the woman had heard Jesus' teachings before, prior to this occasion. Jesus' words to her were words of assurance. They weren't a first-time declaration. She had heard Jesus speak on the things of God. She sensed that here was a man who would not condemn her. She had heard the way the Pharisees had talked about God and the way that you have to keep the law to observe the Sabbath regulations and how you had to avoid being ceremoniously defiled. But for her, those teachings didn't offer any hope. It only added to her condemnation. She didn't even know where to begin. You go to the book of Leviticus and try to figure it out where to start. But then she heard Jesus say, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repent. And she heard the story about the greedy tax collector who had been transformed by coming to Jesus. And perhaps she heard about another sinful woman who had come to Jesus and he said, neither do I condemn you, go on your way, but go and sin no more. And maybe she thought, maybe this man could offer hope for a sinner like me. And so she repented of her sins. And she put her trust in the one who came to seek and save the lost. And all of this happened that day in Simon's house. When she learned that he was nearby, she was determined to go to him, to express her deep gratitude for all he had done. She came to worship him. So, as we continue on our journey this morning into our own hearts, Carol is going to come and she is going to offer a special song. And while she does that, I would like you to do your business with God. I'd like you, if you would, to fill out the cards that you've been given. This morning, God wants more than a song. While a song isn't in itself, is not what he has required, because he looks deeper. He is asking, as your spiritual worship this morning, that you give him your heart. And that's a much harder thing to do, isn't it? Your whole heart. Not just the parts that are lovely. Not just the parts that you show us on Sunday. He wants your heart. So, all I can tell you is this. It is possible to be transformed. My standing here in front of you is proof of that. He has been so good to me. But we have to be honest. We even have to just even understand that we need to be changed. We live here in America and we have so much. It's hard to even wrap our minds around. We don't like the word sinner. We don't like the word sin. We don't like the words repentance. We don't like any of those words. We don't like to be told what to do. But in this same America, we live in loneliness. We live with our idols. We worship at the altar of our jobs and our money and our independence and all of those things. And when you look around and see the state of the world, how's that working for us? He longs to change us, and it's possible. I ask you to use your card to write out what it is that you believe that God is saying to you. Listen deeply. Hear that little cricket in the middle of all the noise. He is speaking. He is always speaking. And I will give you a hint. If it is a voice of condemnation, that is not God. God will point out God will bring to our awareness the things that need to change. But if it is harsh and ugly, that is not of God. Do not listen to that voice. Our Father is gentle and loving. It's no secret, He already knows, and you already know. Write it down. And at the end of our special, I'm going to ask you to turn in that card as a part of your offering this morning. Whatever that is, your hurts, your pains, your doubts, your fears, your anger, whatever it is, He knows already. Just let Him know that you know too.
Every moment I'm away, Lord, have Your way in me. Oh, oh, oh. This is my desire. My desire. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Give my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Will those who are going to help receive the offering come forward, please? As Carol was singing, I was thinking about what Pastor Jonathan said, that one day we'll get to a place where we'll be able to stand in front of each other and say, "Hi, I am Pastor Paula, and I am a member of Pathways, and this is where I struggle." The hardest thing about being a pastor sometimes is that, you know, this is my job. So I spend a lot of time in prayer, and when I have these moments where I'm leading, you know, thinking about what it is, the question that I always ask is, "Father, what is it that Pathways needs? What does the congregation need? What am I sensing? What am I feeling among the congregation, you know, based on what people are telling me and all of those things?" But I'll confess to you this morning that it's very easy sometimes to stand up and above and illustrate and orchestrate all of this, and stand above and beside it, instead of asking that same question, "What is it that I need?" So I confess to you this morning as I sit here and listen to my sister singing that I need Jesus. I need my heart changed. I need to know him more. I need to serve him stronger. I need to love him better. You know, he only gave us two things to do. He said to love him and love others. And I need some work on both of those. That's my prayer this morning. So I would ask as you did they already collect it while I was talking? Oh, okay. I was so busy confessing. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your hearts, and we will be faithful to pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you because I do believe that you are here, and I do believe that you are speaking. My prayer is that we listen. And not only that we listen, but we do. Help us to want you more. We say this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.